And tonight I'm going to talk about the divine romance with the king. And so, you know, a lot of you in here, have you ever had a broken heart? Has someone ever let you down? If so, I want you to raise your hand. Every single one of you should be raising your hand right now. Because guess what? We come across humans, and humans always seem to somehow screw it up. They mess us up, they say the wrong thing, they tell you they're going to do something, and then they don't do it. Or maybe you've been in a relationship and they've let you down time after time after time. And you know what? God says to us, you don't have to live in a relationship where someone's going to let you down all the time, because I'm your king. I am the one that loves you more than you will ever be loved by any human being, woman or male. And I have your name written down in my Lamb's Book of Life. And I know who you are. I designed you. I created you. I formed you. I knew who you were before you were born, when you were in your mother's womb. And because of that, I am so incredibly in love with you that you don't even know the depth of my love for you. And so God began to talk to me in the beginning of the year. Every year he kind of gives me something in the beginning of the year, because we fast. Pastor Dan and I usually fast the first month of the year. And I just always get something awesome from God. And last year it was love bigger, laugh louder, see clearer. Girls, remember Daughters Conference? That ended up being our theme, and it was just a blast. But this year I was praying, and God just whispered into my ear, and he said, this year you and I are going to take a journey, and it's going to be a beautiful romance. And my heart just went, oh. Now, you may be going, well, wait a second, aren't you married to Pastor Dan? You know, yes, Dan and I have a total romantic, awesome marriage. But let me tell you something. This relationship with my king goes deeper than Dan and I. It goes deeper than the depths of human understanding. He knows the bottom of my heart, the top of my heart, the sides of my heart, the inside, the outside. He knows me better than I know me. And he loves me more than I can even imagine. And all of you, at some time in your life, have been either let down by someone, have been broken by someone, have been stepped on by someone, or maybe you've been the one that's broken someone, that stepped on someone. How many of you have said stupid things? Okay, so I'm like raising everything. I have this disease called foot and mouth syndrome, and I always get myself in trouble, okay? So Pastor Jess, you all pretty much know I say things how they are. One time I had someone ask my husband, okay, so like I can't read your wife. Like, is she okay? And Dan's thinking to himself, are you kidding me? What do you mean you can't read my wife? Like, she is what she is. You'll know exactly how she's feeling, and what she's saying is exactly what's going on. And you know what? That's not always a good thing. I seem to get myself in trouble, and I hurt people along the way, but I'm learning. The Lord is teaching me. So this is not a message of point the finger at you. You did bad by someone. This is a message of, look at, we're human. We screw up. We let each other down. That is the nature that is in us, because it's called sin nature. But God says, listen, I have something bigger, more divine, more in love, more relevant, more than you can even hope, dream, or imagine. Listen, all you young people, you're in a time of your life where you're either looking for that special someone. Where's James Perry? James, you don't see on the front row tonight. Do you think you should come sit on the front row? I just had to put him on blast just because. Anyways, he's like my brother. I love him. So you're either looking for that special someone. Maybe you are with someone, and maybe they're not supposed to be with you. Maybe sometimes when you're in church, you kind of get that little in your heart, and you're like, I know I shouldn't be with this guy. I know I shouldn't be with this girl, but I just can't let him go, you know? Or maybe you're in a marriage, and it's a rough marriage. It's just not as easy as it should be. You're always having to fight for your marriage. You're always having to fight for this relationship. And God says, well, wait a second. All of that is human, and all of that comes. But if you serve me and you walk into this divine romance with me first, put aside the relationships, put aside the responsibilities, put aside your hopes and your dreams and your visions, and you line up with me, your first love. The Word of God in Revelation says, go back to your first love. And he says, come back to me. Walk in alignment with me. Serve me, and everything else will fall into place. Guys, it's time for you as young adults, and I as well, to get our priorities right. To make sure that our hearts are in the right place. Because we don't just serve any God. We serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who created the heavens and the earth. He made the oceans. He made the mountains. He made the air that you breathe. He made everything about you. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows what makes you mad. He knows what makes you happy. He knows what sets you off. He knows every little detail about you. But so many times, we don't serve him the way we should. We forget that we're in this romantic relationship with God. And some of you guys are like, romantic relationship. Yeah, even you. Because you know why? God calls us the bride of Christ. We're the church and he's the groom. He's the groom and we're the bride. I'm going to read this, and it's written by Mark Weaver and John Jenkins. In Eden, God created an intimate meeting place where he communed with Adam and Eve. And after the devil upset their perfect relationship, God did not cease his pursuit of relationship. In fact, the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is also referred to as the divine romance. The story of God and his beloved. He is called Israel, the vineyard, and he calls the church his bride. The dramatic story of God and his people reads like a classic romantic tale in a Bible. Like in all great stories, we can read about the crisis of faith, moral dilemmas, sins, treachery, deceit, failures, difficult choices, and ultimately self-sacrifice. God's hand penned history's chapters. Each one points to the story of every moment. And in the broadest sense, perhaps the most romantic moment in all of history, the moment when God died so his church could live. God has authored the most marvelous story ever written, setting the standard for all romantic literature, great stories by nature and design, whether or not they follow his divine story or outline, his romantic imprint, and his chiseled into the tablets of every human heart. God wrote your life, and he loves your heart. You see, we walk in this divine romance with our King, but yet so many of you, and just like me, we don't really choose to believe what kind of relationship we're in with him. You know, I don't take advantage of Dan, and Dan doesn't take advantage of me. Why? Because we love each other. I do things that I know Dan loves because I want to please Dan. Because I know I want to make him happy. You know, I've started this whole, like, I'm going to lose weight thing because I have this, like, tire from my kid and, like, never went away. And so I decided, you know, I'm not just doing this for me, but I'm doing this for my husband because I want to look good for my husband. This is not for anyone else but me and then him. And that's something that a woman has inside of her. She always wants to look good for her man. But how much more so is our hearts so dedicated to the Lord that we want to make sure that we're always pure and holy before our God? That we can come to him with anything, and it's such an intimate relationship that nothing can break it, tear it, or separate it. But guys, you allow so many things in your life that hinder that relationship, that cut it off at certain points, that make walls. And you, by getting hurt by other people, have in ways not allowed God into your life. God says, enough. I am your first love. I am the one that cares about you, that holds you up, that created you, that made you. No matter what's happened to you from childhood up, I am the God who heals, who restores, who's in love with you, who will reveal everything, and will be the one that takes care of you and cherishes you ultimately. And he asked this of us, that we walk in this divine romance with him because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he deserves it. But do we often every day think of God that way? Or do we think he's like this God way out there that totally controls the universe and, yes, has our life in our hands, but we don't know him intimately? Well, tonight, I want you to learn what it is to walk in an intimate relationship with God, to know him, to love him deeply. So if you're taking notes, the message is titled Divine Romance. When I live a life in romance with God, he promises, number one, no heartbreak. You see, everyone else in our lives can let us down. Believe me, girls, I've been there. I'm sure you see Pastor Dan and go, oh, she just has like the perfect guy. Yeah, but I chose all the wrong ones before him. Okay? Let me tell you. I mean, I was with like the total jock, the cool guy. Yeah, he ended up beating me up. And verbally abusing me for about 3 years. So by the time I got out of that relationship, I didn't even know who I was anymore. I didn't have an identity anymore. And it was like, I'm sitting in this world with no purpose. Everything from me was stripped. And you see, I was broken, and I had removed God from my life for this relationship. I had sacrificed what God had given me in him, and I had replaced it with this guy. Now, this may be you. You may be walking in this room tonight and going, yeah, I've done that before. Where a human being takes the place of God, you're in trouble. Because your heart is going to be broken. They're never going to meet the need in your life. He never designed life to be met by human. He designed us and our desires and our dreams and our hopes and our visions to be in him. And then, like I said, everything else comes. After that relationship, I got into this other relationship where this guy was like a Christian. You know, like he was Baptist and he said he went to church. Well, that was much better than the guy before. So, you know, stupid me, like, yay, he goes to church. No, he barely went to church. He like went with his parents every once in a while. And all of a sudden, I'm like totally hopelessly in love with this guy. And I pray this prayer because there's just something in my heart that says, you've been brokenhearted before. Are you going to do it again? And I went before the Lord one night and I said, God, if he's not the one, remove him from my life. Okay, wait, I'm just kidding. No, don't. And I am not kidding you. We talked 7 times a day, and the next thing I knew, he never called me again and he was dating my friend. But you know what? I mean, that's just life. That's what the world gives you. What do you expect, right, Jess? Really? It was brokenness after brokenness after brokenness. And I still tried to pursue relationships. And I remember there was like a period of time in my life where I said, you know what, God? I just keep choosing the wrong guys. Like, hello. I'm like a idiot magnet. And I attract all these idiots. And they just screw me over. And I'm like so dumb. Like, ha, yeah, let me just follow you. And so I got to the point where I was just like, listen, God. Enough's enough. Here's my heart. Because I obviously cannot take care of it myself. I keep screwing it up and picking the wrong people. And it wasn't just guys in my life that would hurt me. I had friends that would backstab me at this time. I had always drama. Do some of you find yourselves always in drama? Okay, well, probably you need to go to God. Because I promise with God there's less drama. And I always had drama, and I was always brokenhearted. I just remember always crying before the Lord. He probably was like, oh, here we go again. You know, I could just totally see him doing that. And I decided, that's it. I'm not doing this anymore, God. Here's my heart. You're just going to have to take it. And when the right guy comes, you give it to him. I'm not even going to tell him about how he has to ask you for it. And little did I know, a year had gone by, and the Lord just started to strip all those things that guy had put inside of me, that I was a loser, nobody would ever want me, and all these things that the world tells you. Maybe it was your parents that told you lies. Maybe it's the enemy in your head telling you, you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, you're just never going to make it, you've never seen a good marriage, so you can't have a good marriage. Whatever the enemy is lying to you about, rebuke him and tell him to move on. Because let me tell you something. God says with me and in this divine romance, you will not have heartbreak. And it's true. Because little did I know, there was a guy who was totally not a jock. Okay, so like I'm into the jocks, the football players. And then my cute little band husband was in a band and he came to the youth group. And let me tell you, my heart went. And I started like getting all like, oh my gosh. And I like went to the back room and I was totally a little girl again. And I knew it. I'm like, this is it. This has to be it. Because why am I acting so cheesy? It's been a year and I haven't liked anyone like this. And we began to talk. Now, the cool thing about Dan and I, take notes, is our relationship never was just Dan and I. Our relationship always was Dan and I and God. Always, from day one. He loved God more than me and I loved God more than him. And that was just how it was going to be. And so we began to talk, and then we started to date. And I remember one day Dan came back, and he said, listen. And I had told him everything I had done in all these horrible relationships and who I was. And I figured, girls, you know, like, spill it now so the guy can run, you know, because I was pretty screwed up, and I had done stupid things. So let me just tell this nice guy what a horrible person I was, and then he'll run, and my heart won't be broken before I get too involved, right? So I lay it on the table. He leaves. He comes back. And he says, listen, I was praying and God told me that I had to ask him for your heart. And girls, you know, when he said that, I was like, what? Are you serious? Wow. And in my heart, I was like, oh my gosh, I never told him that. You know, and it was this beautiful romantic relationship. Dan used to serenade me when I'd come home from work. He'd sing me songs on the stairs. I mean, come on, who does that? He would leave me roses on my doorstep with little notes when I'd wake up in the morning. They would be there. I mean, that was romantic. Now he goes to the store for me and buys me flowers, and it's the coolest thing in the whole world. But, I mean, we have a romantic relationship, and it was almost like the Lord was saying, Jess, you were so seeking all these things, and when you finally gave it up and let it go, I then can bring Dan in your life because I'm first. And see, guys, heartbreak will come. And in Psalms 147:3 in the New Living Translation, it says, he heals the brokenhearted and he bandages their wounds. If you're in here tonight and you're broken, guess what? God's not shocked by it. He's not saying, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? He's saying, finally, they're broken and maybe they'll finally give me a chance. They'll pay some attention to the one who created them. And guess what? In your brokenness, he gets to be God. In your brokenness, he can pick up the pieces. He can put it all back together again. And then he can make you and mold you into who you've been called to be, not just who you think you are. Because see, there doesn't have to be heartache with God. We do that to ourselves. He doesn't do that. He's not one who breaks us. When you live a life of romance with God, he promises, number one, no heartbreak. Number two, he promises protection. You see, so many times people hurt us and all of a sudden the walls start going up, right? Someone hurt, well, that's not going to happen to me again because I put this wall up. And then all of a sudden there's this wall up and this wall up and this wall up and this wall. And all of a sudden no one even has a chance with you because you're totally screwed up. True. And guess who else doesn't have a chance with you? You're not letting God in either. But he says, listen, with me, you can let your walls down. With me, I'm here not to hurt you. I'm not here to push you. I'm here to love you. I'm here to protect you. I'm here to hold you and carry you through life. I'm here to make sure that no weapon formed against you will prosper. I'm here to make sure that I will guard your house and I will guard your mouth and I will guard your heart, because that's what he does. He's our protector. He's our provider. In Psalms 18:2, it says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my savior. My God is my rock, in whom I find protection. He is my shield and the power that saves me and my place of safety. 2 Corinthians 12:9 in the Amplified says, but he said to me, my grace. What is that? God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on your behalf, guys, when you can't do it. And he says, my grace, my favor, my loving kindness, my mercy is enough for you, sufficient against any danger that enables you to bear the trouble manfully. For my strength and my power are made perfect, fulfilled, and completed, and shows themselves most effective in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly glorify in my weakness and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ the Messiah may rest. Yes, pitch his tent over and dwell upon me. Can you imagine? Like, seriously, get a thought of this. Pitch his tent over you and bless you and upon you. So if you have a tent over you, what does that mean? You're protected, right? If it rains, you're not going to get wet. No one's allowed in unless you let them in, right? Listen, guys, it was funny. I had heard about people down the street from us at our, like, in our housing area, and they had gotten broken into, and then I guess they said another house had gotten broken into, and the association let us know about it. And so, you know, I was kind of in my heart going, oh, we should get an alarm. Like, seriously, we should get an alarm. And, you know, we're right on the street, and what if someone, and what if, and all of a sudden, the fear starts going. And God started to speak to my heart and say, well, why do you have a spirit of fear, Jess? You're letting this in. This is not me. This is you. You know that, right? So, like, I kind of was fighting it. And I was thinking to myself, well, maybe I could go get a little sign. You know, I don't have to get the alarm. Maybe you could just buy the sign and put it in the front yard. Because maybe that'll help, you know, keep people away. And the Lord just spoke to me and he said, don't you think that when you pray at night for my protection and for the guardian angels to be around and about your home, I'm not there? You think I'm not there? You think I don't hear you? And I was like, I'm sorry, I know you hear us. And as I began to listen to this, I was like, oh my gosh, Lord. And he showed me that he is around my house when I pray that. That every door has an angel by it, every window has an angel by it, that no weapon formed against me will prosper. I don't care if someone walks in my house with something, I believe they won't ever be able to touch me or my children. Because I have something that not everybody has. I serve a God who loves me. I serve a God who protects me. I serve a God who provides for me. And I'm his daughter. And he's not a respecter of persons. You look at Dan and I and go, oh yeah, but you're Pastor Dan and Jess, and there's favor upon you, and did it. Oh, please. No, Pastor Dan and Jess just make some right decisions. Pastor Dan and Jess sacrifice what the world wants us to do to serve the Lord. Guys, it's not always fun. You think we have lots of friends? No. We're okay with that, though, because we have God. You think that there's a lot of like, oh, they must be so busy. Social. Yeah, we're busy in the ministry. We're not busy doing our own life, doing our own thing. You know why? Because he is our life. He's the only reason I'm alive on this earth. He's the only reason I'm here. He's the only reason I was created. My children are only here for him. And when you begin to think like that, that if he created you for his purpose, then of course he's going to protect his possession, right? So he has you. He has a tent pitched over you. There was a lady in Girlfriends, and she's an amazing woman. I mean, she has been through hell and back. And she wrote this just the other day. She said, on Wednesday, I was home alone, and I went to check on dinner that was cooking in the kitchen. When I got into the hallway, I saw a man in front of me, and he was holding a knife. I asked him, why are you here? And he told me, give me all your money. And I told him, I don't have any money. And he said, I heard you have lots of money. And she said, I don't have any money. And he turned around and he went through the kitchen the same way he came in and he left. I ran. I made sure the door was locked and closed and secure. And then I called the police. I realized later the reason that I did not get hurt was the fact that the Lord was not going to let anything happen to me, a daughter of God, and that he was there. Even though I was physically alone, he was with me, and I will never be alone. Listen, I know this woman. She's a single mom who takes care of her kids, and let me tell you something. That guy could have taken advantage of that situation. He could have done a lot of screwed up things. But he had no chance against her. By her just saying, I have no money, he turns around and leaves with a knife. I mean, he was in there for a purpose, for a reason. And just like no weapon formed against her will prosper, guys, the same goes for you. He's not a respecter of persons. I believe if you're going to get in a car accident and you're serving the Lord, you're going to walk away from the car accident. My brother just got T-boned, not Luke, but my brother Richie just got T-boned yesterday by a dump truck. On his side, the guy walked away from the accident. Come on, that's not God. Come on. There are things that happen in life, but when you have God and you're in this divine romance with him, he's protecting you and he's guarding you and there's no heartbreak. And number three, when you serve the Lord and you walk in a divine romance with him, he says that he is exclusively yours. You know, he calls himself I am. If you read through Exodus, it's so cool. It's like the coolest book. And he goes, I am this, I am that, I am this, I am that. I mean, through the whole book, I am, 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 I am. When you have a question, guess what? He is. When finances aren't working, guess what? He does. When life just doesn't go right, guess what? He is your I am. When someone breaks you or tears you apart, guess what? He is your protector. He is your restorer. He is your comforter. You see, he is. But so many times we don't live as if he really is ours. It's almost like, yeah, there's a God out there, but he's not really mine. He's not really part of me. He may be part of Pastor Dan and Pastor Jess and maybe Pastor Jim and Deborah, but not really with me. God says, no, no, no. I am yours. In Exodus 3:14, it says, God said to Moses, I am the eternal God, so tell them the Lord, whose name is I Am, has sent you. This is my name forever, and it is the name that people must use from now on. I am. So I went through Exodus, and I just started reading through and just seeing what maybe some of the things were that he claimed that he was for them. Okay, you want to hear what it is? He says, I am. I am here. I am the Lord God, your Father. I am your deliverer. I am your mouth. I am your teacher. I am in covenant with you. I am your God, and you are my people. I am God, your heritage, and I am the one who judges. I am your strength. I am. Exodus 15:18 says, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you, and he will not leave you or forsake you. Listen, guys, you have a choice to walk through life as if he is not with you or he is with you. You need to long for him. I can't go to bed at night without being with him. I can't. I just can't. I mean, I will wake up all night long and be miserable if I just don't be with God right before I go to bed. I long for him. I long to come to Shift because I love to be in the presence of God. I long to love and to be with this intimate relationship with the Lord. And listen, he doesn't say, you're going through this life alone. He says, no, I am. I am your provider. I am that one that will meet your need. I am the one that will heal you because he says, I have come to heal you. He is your comforter. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is Jehovah Sidkenu, your banner. He is the one that takes care of everything. But listen, we have a choice as Christians to walk in this divine romance or to allow ourselves to get lazy in our walk with God. Allow ourselves to take advantage of maybe where you're just used to being in the house of God. We're used to just always being with God. It's just something that's kind of always been there, so it's not valuable to you anymore. Don't allow God to become common in your heart. Because he's not a common God. He's the one that made you, who formed you, who created you, who knew you, who loves you more than anyone in this whole world. Everyone else will let you down. I promise you that, even your own pastors. Surprise! We're human. But God, oh, but God, the great I am, he's your answer, he's your comforter, he's your provider, he's your lover, he's the one who loves you, who wants to be intimate with you, who thinks about you daily upon day after day after day. I was reading Max Lucado's God's Roadmap for New Beginnings, Let the Journey Begin. And it's called The Strength of God's Love. Can anything make me stop loving you, God asks. Watch me speak your language. Sleep on earth and feel your hurts. Behold, the maker of sight and sound as he sneezes and coughs and blows his nose. You wonder if I understand how you feel? Look at the dancing eyes of the kid in Nazareth. That's God walking to school. Ponder the toddler at Mary's table. That's God spilling his milk. You wonder how long will my love last? Find your answer on the splintered cross. On a craggly hill. That's me you see there. Your maker, your God, nails stabbed and bleeding, covered in spit and sin-soaked. That's your sin I'm feeling. That's your death I'm dying. That's your resurrection I'm living. That's how much I love you. In Jeremiah 1:5 it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. And I ordained you a prophet to the nations. God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't just say that you came in this room for no reason tonight. There was a divine appointment for you to be here. You may say, God, I just want that relationship with the Lord. I long for him. My soul searches for him. It seems like it just can't get there. Before we go into the altar call, I want to challenge you tonight. I want everyone to close your eyes. You and God. And if you haven't made him your number one, I want you to say sorry. It's time to come back to your first love, young adults. This world is eating at you, nipping at your feet, and trying to pull you right back down to hell. And God says, stop. You're my child. I love you. If you've been brokenhearted in a relationship, maybe someone's let you down recently, Let it go. Let it go. God says, release it. Give it to him. He'll take care of it. And then ask him to heal your heart. He says to strip selfishness aside so that he can come in and fill you. So if you've been selfish, repent. Do you know that he's completely satisfied with you? Maybe you find yourself not so completely satisfied with him. Maybe you've blamed God for all the things that have happened to you in your life. Why, God? Why? Don't judge God. It's not God. God is the one that protects, remember? He's the one that doesn't break your heart. So instead of asking why, run to him. Allow him to embrace you and hold you right now. Allow your heart to be released and healed. And choose today to walk in a divine romance with him. So I'm going to pray. And I want you guys to just intimately be with the Lord right now. And as I pray, release these things. Dear Father God, we come before you as your young people, God. The next generation to love you passionately. Lord, to serve you with all of our hearts. And God, we know you are intimate about us. We know you love us, that you adore us. And Lord, first and foremost, we repent for not putting you first, God. God, for allowing the things of this world to become bigger than you. And Lord, we want to come back to our first love, our King. And Lord, those things that have broke us, God, over the years, those people that have let us down, those hideous things that have happened to us that should have never happened, God, we release them. We lift them up to you, God. Take them. From this moment forth, they will not hold us back. But God, we ask that you are our healer, Jehovah Rapha. And Lord, that you would heal the hearts in this room in the name of Jesus. And God, we ask that you would love us passionately and deeply, God. That you would be with us intimately. And Lord, that you would begin to be so big because you are I am. That God, that you would be the answer for everything that happens in our lives. And Lord, we surrender our lives to you tonight, God. From this night forward, we will not take advantage of this divine romance you've given us. And Lord, we're going to hold your hand through this journey. And Lord, guide us, direct us, lead us where you need us to go. We are your people, God, and you are our God. And everybody said, amen.